Backsliding is a very interesting word, and it really talks about choice. It's on about the fact you have a choice. And our dear friend in the film, all the way through, had the choice of saying, well, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'll trust you because I believe in you and because of what you've said, even though I can't understand it or work it out. He had that choice, which he finally came to, and he came to at different steps. Or he had the choice of saying, well, how dare you, God? Who do you think you are? God himself? You know what I mean. Scripture says, how dare the creature reply to the Creator? The choice is there, and sometimes we get very uppity with God and we tell him what we think, and we rather are in a bad shape then, and it doesn't affect him at all. And I want to talk about choice, because if you're going to grow as a Christian, you have to recognise choice. We talked also about the fact that we really are in a spiritual contest and a warfare, and I want to allude to that in part as well. This is an essay by a grade 4 child called The Owl. Grade 4, about 10 years old. The bird that I'm going to write about in my essay is the owl. The owl can't see at all by night, by day, and at night is as blind as a bat. That's not quite correct. I do not know much more about the owl, so now I'll write about the cow. That's also called choice, but you don't usually pass the exams if you make that. Now, the cow is a mammal, M-A-M-M-E-L. It has six sides, right, left, upper, lower, at the end of its back it has a tail with a brush on the end of it. It uses this to send away the flies and make sure they don't fall into the milk. The head of the cow is to grow horns on so that the mouth can be somewhere. The horns are used to butt with, and the mouth is used to moo with. Now, underneath the cow hangs all the milk. This is real, I didn't make it up. The milk is arranged for milking, and when people milk, the milk comes and it never seems to stop. How the cow does it, I haven't yet realised, but it makes more and more. The cow has a very fine sense of smell, and you can smell it a long way away. That's the reason there's so much fresh air in the country. Now, a man cow is called an ox, and it is not a mammal. The cow does not eat much, but what it eats twice so it gets enough. When it's hungry, it moos, and when it says nothing, it's because it's filled up with grass. 10 years of age wrote that, and it's very funny. But if I wrote that in an essay for my Bachelor of Education at Monash, which I did, it would be very sad. I would have slidden back and be in my second childhood, so to say. And the sad thing is that very often in our Christian experience, we can produce things in our lives that are rather immature, that really belong to our Christian infancy, and worse still, sometimes belong back in the darkness. Because Jesus made it very clear that those who follow him are in the light, and the light is in them by the power of God's Spirit. And that the adversary and the world system is in the darkness, and it seeks to put the light out in you and in me, but it can't. John 1:5. The truth is, light has come into the world, and the darkness has never extinguished it. The darkness cannot put out the light. Try it at home, try it anywhere. You cannot put light out. Oh, you can draw curtains, but you've only enclosed yourself. You haven't affected the light. The darkness can't put out the light. The darkness is where there is no light. It hasn't affected light at all. And I'd like to read from Ephesians 4, and if you have a Bible there, turn it up. Verse 17, which talks about the dilemma that we face about following Jesus and then finding it was just a bit too hard, or we didn't expect this, or why didn't God do that, etc. I didn't say who I was before, I'm sorry, but I have got a very close and old relationship with Asian students because of the time I shared in ministry at Swanson Street Church of Christ 12 or 13 years ago. And since that time I've been responsible in recent years for special education for handicapped people in Victoria, in psychiatric hospitals, in prisons, in youth training centres, in children's homes, and in a number of other centres for disturbed children. So that's my day-to-day job, employed by the government in special education, full-time Christian, who is in the light, and in love with his wife, and in service with her and three children, and we live at East Q. There you are. Where was I? Ephesians 4, 17. I want to tell you this in the name of Jesus. You should no longer walk your lives with vain fancies which rule your life. The minds of those in the darkness have no understanding. They are cut off from the life of God because ignorance prevails among them. Their minds have grown hard like their hearts. They are lost to all sense of shame. They have abandoned themselves to sensuality. They practice every kind of impurity without restraint. Have you noticed that around the university? I have. You are not like that. That is not what Jesus taught you. If it is that you've really heard his voice, and through union with him, he taught you. And this is true Christian teaching. Strip off that old nature, your original evil nature. Its way is destruction. It follows deceitful desires. You must be renewed in your spirit with a new mind, and put on the new nature, which was created to resemble God with rightness and truthfulness and holiness. So don't keep telling lies. Speak truly to your friends, especially your brothers and sisters, for we are members together of the body of Christ. If you do get angry, make sure you don't sin. And don't ever let sunset find you still angry. There's a good one. When the sun goes down, remember that. Don't ever let the sunset find you angry. Don't give the devil a chance in your life. If you once stole, don't steal anymore. You should work with your hands at some honest work. You should give to other people who have need. Don't let foul words pass your lips. But when you speak, make sure it's for the benefit of others, so that it might be a blessing to those who hear your voice. Do not hurt and grieve God's Holy Spirit, for it was through the Spirit of God that you were sealed to belong to him until that final day. Let brawling, loud insulting language, slander and abuse be put away from you, as well as malice, and be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, ready to forgive one another, just as God forgave you. So, imitate God, just like his dear children, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God which is fragrant and acceptable. Sexual vice and uncleanness of every kind, or the itch to get your hands on what belongs to others, don't even talk about such things. You belong to Christ, his holy people. Nor shameful conduct, jesting, indecency, foolish talk. These things are not for you. You should be giving thanks to God. Know this for sure, that no person who is impure or greedy, no person who worships idols, has any part in the kingdom of God. Don't let anyone deceive you with shallow arguments. Because of those things, God's anger has come on the children of disobedience. You should not be partners with them. You were once all darkness, but now in the Lord you are full of light. So live as those at home in the daylight. The light in the dark, and it's the business of choice. No wonder Jesus said, those things that have been done in the dark will one day be shown on the housetops in the light. Those things spoken in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. You're not in the dark anymore. You should shine. Do you remember how you began? I'm glad that this much of the board was left for me. It's in Luke 9:23. Jesus often began and he said, if anyone...
like that one.
If anyone will follow or partner me,
I'll use partner.
If anyone will follow or partner me, let him give up his right to himself, that's deny himself, give up his right to himself, give his life away, let's take up the cross, and follow me. Now that's how you begin if you follow Jesus. You knew there was a choice involved. You knew that his offer was to anyone for forgiveness and freedom and a new life and an eternal business to enter into. If anyone would follow, a partner, be a disciple, be a follower of Jesus, give up your right to yourself, give your life away to him and follow him. And in return he gives his life to you. That's how it began. And being double is just like that, being married. Because I reckon a lot of backsliding has to do with marriage. When that skirt arrived on the film, I wondered what was going to happen. I thought, ah, here's the nigger in the woodpile, or here's whatever it is. She's going to do something to him. Well, she did, but not the way I thought it might have happened. I know lovely blokes who've been companions of mine in Jesus, who've been drawn right away from their trust and love for Jesus because they gave their right to themselves to someone else instead of God. And that always stands first. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're right to yourself and anything you have to give to him. That's his basic condition of discipleship. Wholehearted giving of ourselves to him. Now those who thought I was speaking on stewardship, I'll now talk on stewardship. The Corinthians were commended by Paul because he said, look what they did when they gave their money. They first gave themselves. That's all I've got to say on stewardship.
Was a short message.
They first gave themselves. If anyone wants to follow me, step one is to give yourself away. Marriage is like that too. If you're going to live successfully, first you've got to live. If anyone would get married, partner, give your right to yourself away. You've got to do that. Give your life away. All you receive in return. But the essence of the business of marriage partnership is what you give away, more than what you receive. And the issue of both marriage and conversion is choice. And on the day that you stand there in white, black, blue or pink, Pastor Chia will say to you, do you take this young whatever? Or to be your wedded whatever, husband or wife. And he's not asking, do you believe that he'll be a good partner? Or do you think you'll be happy? Not asking that at all. He's not saying, are you sure you want to go through with it? He's done all that beforehand. He's saying, will you take her and will you give yourself to her? It's an act of choice. Marriage is based on choice. And 6 months later, people come to me and say, we're not happy. And I say, well, where did it ever say that you should be happy when you're married? The Christian life is hard. Where did it ever say it would be easy when you follow Jesus? But if you are double, you've got double the resources if you've both given yourselves away to God. And too many people come to a problem in their marriage or their relationship and they've forgotten what it began on. I chose you forever, for better, for worse. I chose you. And I'm man enough to say no matter what happens, no matter how much weight you lose or put on, I still love you. I stick by my choice. Now, not enough people talk like that. Just being Patrick Gordon. All right, I had a good story. I won't tell you. Choice issue is critical to marriage too. You either did or you didn't choose that. And D.L. Moody used to say to his Bible college students, there are two things in life you should never do: become a minister or get married. Choice issue. If you choose to do it, do it with all your heart. Thank God we're all ministers of God in Jesus, all his servants. We're full-time Christians. Some of us are set aside for different tasks in the church. Don't ever go into a following of Jesus lightly or into a partnership in marriage lightly. It is for peace. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, Scripture tells us. And if you're going to follow Jesus, or if you're going to get married, remember, once you've made the choice, Jesus said you're not fit for the kingdom if you put your hand on the plough and look back over your shoulder like dear old Lot's wife did and said, oh, what are we leaving behind there? Down came whatever it was, or up it came, and she turned into a poultry and salt cellar. If anyone will follow me, said Jesus, give up your right to yourself, give your life away, and follow me, and here's the crunch, daily. And I tell you what, if you get married again every day. So I belong to this woman, she is the most beautiful. And you know, the person you'll have to convince most is your wife, that you really believe it. Because she'll say, oh no, that might have been 15 years ago, or 11 years ago, but not now. Convince her, make her the happiest woman in the world. You'll have no problem with the choice then, and that's what God wants to do for his people. Convince us that he loves us and wants us to be the strongest, most vital people in the world. Is anything too hard for God? I can do anything through the strength of Christ, says Paul. He wants to convince us just that. Why do you think Jesus called the church the bride? And he was the bridegroom. Because this is based on love. And sometimes when your Christian life goes stale, there's a very simple reason. You've started to take it up like it was a club membership or a lecture evening or something. There's no vitality in that. All you want to do at lectures is wait for them to end, don't you? Say. There was a club tonight, was there? It's not a club membership or a lecture series or some nodding of the head to theological dogma. It's a love relationship. And if that goes stale, and marriage is more exciting, or reading the paper at breakfast is more exciting than talking or looking at your wife. Now, I'm fortunate there. We have different habits, and that's another important thing to know about. And I'm an early riser and a no breakfast eater, and my wife is a late riser and a breakfast eater. We also roll up the tubes of toothpaste differently. I'm a roller and she's a squeezer. hasn't caused any problems because I watch the poop in the front bedroom and now she does those in the back. These two caused problems when we both tried to wrestle with the same toothpaste tube. But you can have quite significant problems with people because of your different habits and attitudes. And you have to accept people as they are. Now, after my first of many heart attacks, which turned out to be indigestion, I said to a doctor friend at church, getting a free consultation, these Christian doctors, down the stairway, Swanston Street, down the back, I said, oh, look, Jeff, I've got this real bad pain here. I think I've been having a heart attack or something. And he said, do you eat any breakfast? And I said, no. He said, have a banana and a glass of milk late at night and early morning and your heart attacks will go away. But about all I still have is a glass of milk and a banana. Now, my wife is quite different about this. She thinks that you should have a dirty big breakfast and you should sleep in a bit later, and it would be much more comfortable if I were to sleep in a little bit later and have a bigger breakfast. Then she wouldn't worry, one, about getting up late, and two, about me not eating enough breakfast. But she accepts me as I am and says, God bless you, don't have any breakfast if you don't want it. That's fine, but if I could make one for you and it would encourage you to eat one, I will. No, it's okay, it's a habit of a lifetime, gone a long time. She accepts me as I am. And God does that too. And this sticking word backslider, pardon me, has got a problem in that we try and stick it on others. And that is dynamite. That's cutting your fingers off. If you say, oh, well, like I did, that finger was jammed in a gate when I was a little kid, and I've not become a class concert star guitarist because of that. Every time I hear a guitar played, oh, you rotten backslider, you're be very careful that you don't stick a label on someone else like that. And God's word says, let him who thinks he stands beware lest he fall. The very important one, do not judge others unless you're willing to receive the very same judgment. And Margaret is a very wise person, and I know she would have me say this. But she'd say, why didn't you say that? There are some people who irritate us very much. Do you know what? We are just like them. The faults we can detect in others are the ones we are most aware of in ourselves. And if there are some people who come to you for help regularly, you may well find when they really bug you that God's saying, well, how do you think I feel when you come to me with similar comments and problems? You might find that over a number of years it's humbled us a great deal to see who we are really like ourselves. If anyone will follow, give up your right to yourself, give your life away, follow me, darling. It's an exchange of life. You give yourself, and Jesus gives to you his very own life by the Holy Spirit. And it's an issue of the will. You don't say, yes, I hope I'll be married after this service, or I think I'll be with, I will. You say, I will, and you are, and that's it. And that's how it is in following Jesus. Not a hope so, think so, maybe so. I've written these things that you might know that you are the children of God, and you have eternal life in the name of Jesus, said the Apostle John. Marriage is an issue of the will, and marriage breakdown is an issue of the will. Following Jesus is an issue of the will, and if someone slips away, it's equally an issue of their will. They chose it. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, it is a daily business. Day by day, you give yourself to me. And sometimes I talk to friends who've been Christians a long time, and all they need to update their experience of Jesus. I say, well, tell me about your experience of the Lord Jesus. Back we go 20 years in the archives. I didn't want a trip to the library. I wanted to know what happened yesterday. What happened last week? How did God arrange things today in your life so that it's been significant? When you say yes to Jesus, your freedom arrives. When I said yes to Margaret in marriage, well, all that money, all that freedom, golly, I used to sink in her arms, now I've got my arms in the sink. And you can soon foul up your marriage or your Christian relationship or living in a home or your relationship with Jesus if you see there's some sort of strange duty or punishment. It's based on love. That's why you said yes to Jesus. God so loved that he gave his son that if you trusted, you would have everlasting life. It was because of love that I said yes to Margaret. It's when I turn the love into duty that it all goes south. The love has to be kept alive. Now, one of the most common words in the New Testament is the word new. We often overlook it. If you read the Living New Testament, it used the words fresh and new often together, like Romans 12:2. Be a new and different person, this is in the Living, with a fresh and different newness, with all you do and think. Be a new and different person, with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how God's ways always satisfy. You have to update the freshness of love. In our family, people have always kept whatever was on top of the wedding cake. You know, it might be your custom to do similar things, but the little man and the lady standing there with a top hat or a set of flowers or something, and they put it away in a little glass cupboard, and there it is, a reminder of 20, 30, 40 weeks, months or years ago. What have you done about keeping it fresh? What present did you last bring? Important is friendship too. People know you care by the sorts of things you give to them. The words you give, the smile you give, the letters that you write, the notes that you leave, that little thing in you that would be especially interesting to that person. That shows that you care. It shows it. Words alone are never quite enough, which is why God not only said he loved the world through the prophets, he showed it in Jesus. Maybe if you're having problems in your own Christian walk, like I have and do, most days I find it hard to pray. It is not a natural thing for me to pray. I'm sorry, you might need another speaker up here for that dramatic revelation. I find it difficult. I don't find it easy to spend time praying. And I thank God that one time he delivered me from thinking that I wasn't a very good Christian if I didn't make some sort of duty out of praying for half an hour a day. I find I'm conscious of him all day long. That's much better than 20 minutes in the morning and then I go out alone. Forget about it. Duty in prayer can be killing. Don't repeat those things over and over again, said Jesus. The heathen do that on a prayer wheel. And what good does it do them? When you pray, say, Father. When my dad died, and it was touching the way the boy handled Grandma's death, I had to learn what it meant. Breathe out those things that don't help. Breathe in the strength and the resources of God. Don't turn the love of God, which brought you to Jesus, into some awful duty or observance, which OCF can even become for you. That's the say that. You can find that your commitment to OCS can take over your commitment to Jesus. When you get back home with your degree, and you suddenly find with no OCS, there's no commitment. What went wrong? What fell out? I miss those people so much. It must just have been those people. That's what it is. Good, I'll go and have a good time, man. Heard that a lot. Seen that a lot. Had a lot of letters back. And I've written a letter back. How would you answer that? We want to tell you that we love you and we believe in you and Jesus does too. That's what we're up to. Not, like I did 20 years ago, I think you should be aware of the grave peril you're in. Which was a real good dose of accusation. God doesn't talk like that. He talks like that to the people who say, I've made it. Boy, you're in peril, is there? But the ones who are like a broken piece of grass that's about to fall off into the mower, he says, I'm not even going to break that over, I'll strap that up. It's needed. He won't quench a smoking fire. God wants to revive and renew us and encourage us. Very important. Careful what you write. I have some letters at home. I'm glad I can't find them. if I could, I'd sit and weep over the loved one because of what people said to me, trying to help me, I think. I think they felt better after they wrote them, but boy, I didn't when I got them. Now, I remember the people who loved me for years said, "We know God's going to do something special. All right, we won't give you a lecture, let's forget it, come and have a game squash." But I heard it, and I knew they loved me and cared and prayed for me. And we found that 6 years alone was better than 6,000 volumes of lectures. It also works well in marriage, but that's another mess. Problems in the Christian walk make sure that you're not suddenly following out of duty. You know, the engineers among us study a lot about friction. Friction is when things get close. And in marriage, or in fellowship, or in our relationship with Jesus, friction, when things get close, can do two things. They can warm you up or wear you out. And your Christian walk with Jesus is meant to warm you up, not wear you out. And some of you are not getting enough rest. I lay down the law now. You honour God with your body and trust Him. That extra 3 hours that you do after 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be there. Trust God for the 3 hours sleep at that time. Getting close to God, getting close to exams, can sometimes warm us up or wear us out. Same in your commitment to people. Don't neglect your studies. Same in your commitment to studies. Don't neglect people that God brings to you. Look at the balance that He wants. The Christian life is a lifelong love affair with Jesus. It is. Affirm the fact how much He loves you. And if you're afraid and anxious about things that are coming up, the only thing that will get rid of that fear isn't hard work. The scripture says perfect love will cast out fear. The only thing that will take away that fear is when you affirm the fact and agree with God that He loves you, He cares for you, He's got a perfect plan arranged for you, He won't foul it up. Don't worry about your fouling it up. Just cooperate with Him. Just walk with Him. Affirm that when you get in the exam room. Affirm it the month before. Affirm it every day. God is love, and He wants us free from anxiety and guilt to know that we can be confident and useful and powerful for Him. The scripture says God is love. It doesn't say God has love. Some people have turned it round the other way, and God's like some sort of funny shaped basket in the sky who tips love out. God is love. Every experience you have where love has touched your life, somehow God is in it. God is love. And in Ephesians 3, I won't read it, but Paul talks about in his prayer to the church there that you'll know from your own experience how incredibly enormous God's love is. That you'll know it firsthand. And I guess that's one of the great keys in walking with Jesus, is to get to know. Spend time with Him. Alone, yes, but at work too. When you're studying. When you're out playing tennis or whatever it might be. Know Him there too. I think He enjoys tennis. Not just when you win. And I'd like you never to forget a most powerful verse. Because I think a lot of us have a concern, and I'm finishing in a couple of minutes, and we say, I just don't want to follow Jesus as much as some other people seem to. Because if you really got them to be honest, they would say, I feel the same way. Take the masks off and share. So how do we really feel about wanting to follow Jesus? I'll do anything for Him, but I really don't get enthused about Him very much. Don't get enthused about praying. Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13 have got one of the best keys in the whole scripture to this. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. My dearly beloved friend, says this fellow Paul, just like you've always obeyed whether I was there or not, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, because God is at work in your life, helping you want to obey Him. Did you hear that? God is at work in your life, helping you want to obey him and also energizing you to do what he wants. God is working in your life, helping you want to. That's my problem. I don't really want to enough. I get scared at the business of having to go around with a badge on the chest and have someone come up to me and say, I'm from Gay Lip, what's this nonsense on your badge? I wear the badge, but I don't really want to. God says, I want to deal with the wanting more than I want to deal with the badge. God is at work in your life, helping you want to obey him. Well, how does that work? Okay, Lord, I'm not too keen. I'd like to have swapped back at Fenella somewhere during this Christianity week. I want you to touch my life in such a way that I want to get involved in the best way I can. But I want to. You touch me and energise my wanting. Motivate me, Lord. Don't make me stir myself up or stir others up around me or have others stir me up. You do it inside me. God will warm you up. Now, I had to study Greek at one stage, and as some of you know, there's nothing worse than trying to study Greek. I knew a little Greek, and he owned a fish shop. Sorry about that. So I said, Lord, I have to pass this rotten Greek. You make me enthusiastic. I am just bored silly with it. And I passed it. It took 5 or 6 years. But I even came to enjoy it at the end. And that's serious. I really did not want to do this stuff. But I could grit my teeth and do it, but that's me. Like saying, I've got to go and help in this group, but Lord, I don't want to go. I want to go back and see the cricket. Well, Lord, that's not the night too, isn't it? But you want to touch someone's life in some way, and I want you to energise me, to be involved, you know. When God motivates you to do things, you don't run out of steam. Our God is a renewing spirit. He renews your strength. And there'll be times when you are amazed what he energises you to, and you don't collapse 18 hours later. I could get through it, but then I'd collapse before that. God doesn't let that happen to us. And we cooperate with him. Well, the Spirit of God is within you, and greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. He is stronger than anything. God's love will never allow you to be separated by anything from him. And I firmly believe that those who are in the hand of God are there to stay. And in my own life, he's brought me back from situations where I had gone down the slope. Back through them. Sometimes for a day, sometimes for a week, sometimes for a longer time. And I've come back with 2 or 3 attitudes. I've been rather ashamed. Just like my own children. If they deliberately do something, they choose to. They can't excuse themselves, they chose to. They are ashamed. And they tell me they really feel bad about it. And will I forgive them? And we need to do that more regularly than we do. Then we need to do something else, accept that God has forgiven us. We often find that hard, but really accept that he's forgiven us. That he renews our minds, that he energises our lives, that what he says in his word he means, and he wants us to take it and mean it seriously. And that's what faith's gone about. Some people say they haven't got much faith. We have got a great deal of faith. It's usually in ourselves. I think I can cope. That's faith in yourself. I'm just depending on it happening. I can do it okay. I can get through this. That's massive faith, some of the problems we face. And God often takes us right to the end of ourselves, like in the audio visual, so we can depend on him. And see, right, he had it in hand all the time. How I wasted all that energy, how I wasted all that sorrow, how I wasted all that anxiety. From now on, I'll just trust him. Faith believes that what God says, he's serious about, and if I cooperate, he'll do it. Well, live in the love of God and encourage one another. That's very important. Pray for one another. Pray with one another. praise God every situation we have. If things are dreadful or if they're marvellous, so well, thank you, Lord. I haven't got a clue why it's happened, but I trust you and I thank you and I feel dreadful. You'll be amazed what he'll start to do. Well, let's just bow in prayer as we finish and just ask him to fill our hearts with his love and the knowledge of himself.